Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, if you're interested in Occupy Wall Street, you'll definitely want to listen to Tuesday's show, which we'll be doing live from the Green Space next week, where we will have a dialogue on the underlying issues raised by the Occupy Wall Street movement. We have Elliot Spitzer on that show. We have Greg David from Crane's New York Business on that show. We have Catherine Wild from the Partnership for New York City, which includes the big investment firms. On that show, we have a downtown Zuccotti Park organizer, Jesse LaGreca, on that show. And it should be fascinating from the Green Space on Tuesday. The tickets are sold out, but you'll want to definitely tune in for that on Tuesday morning. Monday, by the way, we have Tom Brokaw and Joyce Carol Oates among our guests. So a lot to listen for on the Brian Lehrer Show coming up next week. On Tuesday of this week, a federal advisory panel to the Centers for Disease Control recommended that boys as young as 9 years old be vaccinated with Gardasil, which protects against the human papillomavirus, or HPV. Listeners, you probably remember the national conversation last month about whether young girls should receive the HPV vaccine. It's the most common sexually transmitted disease, HPV, and can lead to cancers and genital warts later in life. Here is Dr. William Schaffner, a non-voting member of that advisory panel for the Centers for Disease Control, speaking on The Takeaway on Wednesday morning.
This is an anti-cancer vaccine, and cancers not only in girls, the cervical cancer prevention, but in boys also, penile and anal cancers, and in both boys and girls, men and women that is, cancers of the head and neck, which are also caused by the same viruses. So this is a great advance in public and personal health.
But as with the recommendation for girls, which goes back to 2006, the panel's announcement on boys does not come without controversy. So here to talk about it and answer some questions is Rob Stein, health reporter for The Washington Post. Rob, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, nice to be here.
And listeners, we have a few minutes for questions if you want to ask him anything about the HPV vaccine, particularly with respect to boys now, because that's the new part. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And I see that this has been approved for boys since 2009, but only this week recommended. What's the significance that a recommendation has?
Yeah, that's actually a big change, because before the medical authorities said this vaccine was out there, was available, boys wanted to use it, but they didn't recommend it, and that meant that a lot of insurance companies didn't pay for it. Now what the panel is saying is that all boys, when they're 11 or 12, should get it as part of their routine vaccination, and that will probably lead to a lot more insurance companies covering it.
And that now means all boys and all girls around that age. Why so young?
Well, the thinking is that you want to vaccinate boys and girls before they become sexually active to protect them from getting infected with the virus in the first place. It's much more effective that way. If you wait until after they become sexually active, then there's a chance they've already been exposed and the vaccine won't help them.
According to this Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, about 7,000 HPV-associated cancers each year affect men in the United States, with cancer of the head and neck being most common, as we heard in the clip. In its announcement, the panel also noted that men who have sex with men and people infected with HIV are at the greatest risk of HPV-related disease. This gets parents and doctors into a complicated situation, right? Do parents have to consider the sexual orientation of their sons when making this decision whether to vaccinate?
Right. That's the issue with this, is with this vaccine, is as you mentioned earlier, because the idea is to get kids vaccinated when they're fairly young, it's hard for a lot of parents to think about an 11 and 12 year old being sexually active. They're so young, they're not even thinking about that possibility. But the reality is that that's the best time to get them vaccinated, to reduce the risk of getting infected later in life and to reduce the risk of getting these cancers when they become adults.
Let's take a call. Here is Eric in, where are you, Eric?
I'm in Milltown, New Jersey.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, my son was in for his regular before the school year vaccinations and flu shot and all that fun stuff, and his doctor recommended that we get this, and it sounded like it made sense, and we agreed, and she gave him the vaccine, and then we get outside to the front desk, and they tell us it costs $400, and that insurance does not cover this. And so I think that though it is very important, and certainly is it worth, you know, $400 for my son's health, certainly, but people should be aware that insurance does not cover this, regardless of the fact that it is being recommended.
Thank you very much. And you mentioned that, Rob, and you mentioned that maybe now that the CDC has officially recommended it for all boys around 11 or so, as well as all girls, that it may help prod the insurance companies into covering it, right?
Right, right. That is what is expected to be the biggest impact of this recommendation, is that more insurance companies will start to pay for it. And as the caller said, it is a very expensive vaccine. It costs about $400 just for the vaccine itself. And then on top of that, you know, you have to pay for doctor's offices costs and that sort of thing. So that's a big deterrent right now for parents to get their kids vaccinated, is if it's not covered, that it's a big out-of-pocket expense.
Joel in Fort Lee, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joel.
Yes, good morning, Brian. My question is, with my wife, she refuses to use this vaccine on kids because, number one, it's not been proven by the FDA or the board that certified these rushes these vaccines and medicines to the market. It's very unsafe. There's too many side effects. And then, number second, it might lead to more promiscuity because those kids who are not even going to engage in sexual conduct behavior before marriage, they might just do this experiment, you know, sexually, which is even more dangerous.
You mean they may be more likely to have teenage sex because they'll think, oh, well, I got the HPV vaccine, so I'm safe.
Yes, right. And on top of this, this vaccine has not been proven adequately. It's like, you know, how Viagra was rushed to the market and it had detrimental side effects.
Joel, thank you for your call. So what about both of those concerns? Does the CDC recommend how parents are supposed to talk about this to their kids?
Yeah, I mean, that is the concern that we've heard a lot about this vaccine, that but somehow by vaccinating children against a sexually transmitted disease, it might somehow be sending a subtle signal to them that it's okay to be sexually active. Now, the reality is that, you know, it is an imperfect vaccine. It's not 100% protective, and it shouldn't give people a false sense of security. But so far, you know, this vaccine has been available since 2006. It's been administered, something like 40 million doses have been administered. And so far, the reality is it doesn't seem to be playing out that way. It doesn't seem to have any effect at all on children's likelihood of becoming sexually active or encouraging them to becoming sexually active. Most parents, you know, that when their kid is only 11 or 12 years old, they're not even discussing that with them. So they're not getting that message at that young age.
And obviously, Joel, so their concern would be shared by a lot of parents. Wait, if this is a new vaccine, how do I know it's been sufficiently tested to prove that it's safe against side effects?
Yeah, that's a common concern. You know, it is a relatively new vaccine. It hasn't been around that long. But as I said, something like 40 million doses have been administered so far, and the FDA has been paying a lot of attention to it and tracking any reports of any adverse effects. And so far, it seems to be, you know, as safe as any other vaccine that's available right now.
Did you say that insurance does cover it for girls, though it doesn't yet for boys, or for neither?
Right. No, it is increasingly, more and more insurance companies are covering it both for girls and for boys as time goes on. And once it got approved and recommended for girls 11 and 12, more companies started paying for it.
And I guess this acknowledges in some way the responsibility that the male gender has in terms of public health. We have a comment on our Facebook page from Kayan who writes, "Makes total sense. If your son is vaccinated, then he can't pass it to another person, potentially endangering her life. Social responsibility, like voting. You don't have to vote, but it'll really help out society if you do. So then you don't sit back and wait till the whole system crashes, like what's going on now in the government." And Kayan says, "I'm just saying."
Right, right. I mean, That is definitely the case, is that it's getting your boys vaccinated, it really has two benefits. One is protecting the boys themselves against a variety of forms of cancer, most importantly being throat and mouth cancer, which actually is increasing. And at the moment, HPV is among the most important causes of throat cancer. It might even be the leading cause of throat cancer right now. And beyond that, it also reduces the risk of the virus being spread to the boy's sexual partners later in life, whether those are male partners or female partners.
All right. Rob Stein, health reporter for The Washington Post. The HPV vaccine now recommended for preteen boys as well as girls. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Coming up next, community colleges, the racial wealth gap, and the 99%. Stay with us.